Welcome to the December monthly policy update. I'm Micah Nelson with Independent Sector. Today I am joined by my IS colleague, Ben Kershaw, as well as Wes Coulomb with Washington Council, Ernst & Young. Before we get into today's agenda, I want to go over a few housekeeping details. As part of our conference call feature, all lines are currently muted, and we will pause periodically for questions. To ask a question, you will need to unmute yourself by pressing *6. We ask that when you are done, you mute yourself again by pressing *6. For technical difficulties, please email publicpolicy@independentsector.org. We look forward to your questions today and appreciate your attendance.
Thank you, Micah. Thank you all for joining us on this beautiful Thursday. Last time we spoke to this group, Congress had just narrowly averted a shutdown by passing a spending bill. Boy, do we all have really good timing about when we get together. Today's a big day in Congress, as I'm sure many of you all know. So here to help us break down just what is happening in Congress, if you can all sift through the impeachment headlines, and to help us distill that, our colleagues with Washington Council. Wes, we are glad to have you with us. There's minute by minute breaking news on this bill moving through Congress. What can you tell us about the latest legislative status?
Thanks, Ben. As you know, amidst all the impeachment talk, there's a lot of legislation actually taking place this week as they try to get out of town for the holidays. The big news today is that after reaching an agreement in the wee hours between Monday and Tuesday on a spending and tax package, that package has been broken into two bills. One, spending for eight appropriations bills and a tax package, and a separate four-bill spending bill package as well. Both the spending bills and the tax package have passed the House, and today the Senate, just about within the last hour, passed the first of two spending bills. It's the one that has the eight appropriation bills and the large tax package in it. So that has passed the Senate 7123. It should be on its way to the president for signature. The CR that, as you know, passed in November expires tomorrow night at midnight. So we assume the president will sign the bill either late tonight or sometime tomorrow, potentially, if they don't get the paperwork to him by then. But I think the view is that the president is going to sign it. So since it's passed the House and the Senate, the president says he's going to sign it. It's on its way to becoming law. So a big victory from that standpoint in getting the budget done, averting a shutdown, as well as passing a large package of tax items. I'm happy to go through if you want me to right now.
Yeah, that'd be great. We should hear what it is we're all so excited about.
Good. On the spending side, I think people are watching the spending piece. The spending package basically follows the large spending caps, increase in spending caps that were agreed to earlier this summer. And basically a 30-plus billion-dollar increase overall in the spending limits for this budget year. Most agencies were increased in various ways. There was not large amount of policy riders or poison pills, if you will, that both sides agreed to kind of keep off the package, which made the deal come together. Increased funding for the IRS, for example, and other agencies in the federal government as part of this package, obviously over this fiscal year, but a good across the board, I think, spending package for the most part that both sides could agree to. On the tax side, as you know, the tax extenders have been out there for a couple of years now. In fact, some expired since 2018, some are expiring at the end of this year, and so there was movement or interest in doing a large tax package. That package kind of went back and forth in negotiations over the weekend, last week, and into actually the wee hours of Monday and Tuesday when they finally reached an agreement on a tax package. It actually was smaller than what they were originally trying to achieve. It did contain kind of the basic extender package in it, the 30 provisions or so that were expired or expiring that were made extended to most of them through 2020. A couple of them, you know, biodiesel and shoreline railroads were done for longer periods of time, I think till 2022. But the bulk of them were done through 2020, including the ones that expired in 2019. So the extender debate will continue into next year and the following year, given that there was not a long-term extension for most of those expiring provisions. Also, the House was pushing to include some refundable tax items, expansion of the child tax credit and earned income tax credit. That did not make it into the final package, but also what did not make it in the final package were any technical corrections to the 2017 tax bill the Republicans were trying to push as part of that package. Although we did have one big win for the sector that was a correction and a fix to the 2017 bill, and that's the repeal of the UBIT transportation fringe benefit provision as part of the package. So even though they did not do a broad package of technical corrections to the 2017 bill, they did include the UBIT parking tax, as we call it, fix, which is a big win for the sector and a big, I think, win you know, for us, the independent sector, to get that taken care of, even though some other provisions were not included in the package. And that was, I think, due in part to the lobbying and the efforts of independent sector and others in the charitable community to kind of push that issue with members on the Hill, with leadership. We had a lot of meetings with leadership and others in the last days and weeks here to make the case that this is an important item to get done and would be a big fix for the sector. It did. So that's a good victory for us to get that done. Also, the packaging contained some repeal of some ACA healthcare taxes. The Cadillac tax was repealed. The medical device excise tax was repealed, as well as the health insurance tax was also repealed. And those three were about $300-plus billion, which had the bulk of the cost of the tax package was related to those three taxes being fully repealed as part of the bill. It also include a big section on the Pension Act, the Secure Act, that previously passed the House and the Senate. They were trying to get it passed by itself before, but could not get it done. And that pension bill was then tacked on to the bigger bill and also passed as part of this package as well. So a lot of good things in there as well. In addition to that, you also have a disaster relief package included in the bill as well. It was kind of tagged along with the House extender package when they passed their bill earlier this year, also trying to get done. So that disaster relief package was also included in the bill. And as part of that, they also include another provision that is important to the sector, and that would simplify the excise tax for private foundations. As you know, there's a two-tier, 2%, 1% structure for private foundation excise tax. That would be simplified to a one rate of 1.39%. Excise tax for private foundations. So that was also in the package that was passed today and should get signed into law by tomorrow night by the president. So a lot of things in this package, a lot of provisions in there. It's a big package, a lot of spending, as well as taxes as well. But it's a good victory for what the sector has been pushing for the last couple of years. So with that, happy to answer any questions or any comments.
For sure. Thank you, Wes. Yeah, and we would be happy to have folks ask any questions if you'd like. It is *6 to unmute your lines. While you're putting down your streamers and celebratory hats about all the news Wes shared with you, I want to ask one quick question, Wes. Not to dwell on this success too much, right? Because Lord knows we got a lot of other things that the sector needs to work on together. But, you know, we remember being in a lot of these meetings you referenced on the Hill this fall even, and being told by staff, sort of in both parties, that either a big package of fixes to the 2017 tax bill was going to happen, or no fixes to the tax bill were going to happen. And, you know, that isn't how things ultimately shook out. It's not, right, we're not the only exception to that. They did, right, they fixed the benefits for Gold Star families. What do you make of that?
Well, other than your good work, Ben, I think that it was just one of those.
I don't mean that. I'm not fishing for compliments. I just, you know, how do you take that?
Just kidding. Well, I think that it was interesting. Negotiation, you know, was a tough one. As I said, they were, you know, trying to get a bigger package put through, even make some of the extended provisions permanent. They were pretty popular. The Democrats, Republicans were actually, I think, fairly close at some point of actually reaching agreement on some of the refundable provisions, maybe about $20 or $30 billion worth of refundable provisions in there. Not what the Democrats wanted of $100 billion, but something in there that they could come away with as a victory. And also a broad list of technical corrections to the 2017 bill were kind of in the package. And then at the end, and, you know, last minute, there were some negotiations that the administration kind of weighed in to make some changes to it and push back on some things, and it kind of fell back to a more modest package than what we have in the final bill mentioned. I think the, you know, I don't know exactly what, you know, was transpired in those conversations, but I think what happened was is that, you know, they wanted to salvage something that they could say was, you know, a fix, and something that they could say was broadly supported, since they dropped out a bunch of things in the final minutes of the negotiation before the final language was submitted to in the House. I think this is one where they said, look, both sides agree with it. It's good policy. It makes sense. Let's just do it and get it done. But you know, yeah. Other than that, I don't have any good inside information as to why. But I think that they want to point to something they could take success.
Yeah. Well, we will try not to read too much into the fact that this repeal of UBIT was the very last provision in the entire bill. You know, just section 306, right? happy to take questions from the phone, *6 to unmute your lines, but any of the developments happening right now. Okay, great. So before we move on to other matters, another question that I have for you, Wes, is, you know, Congress had a long sort of year-end to-do list that they were negotiating on over the last few weeks. And, you know, a lot of times you reach sort of early December and you're not sure which of the things that we think are must-do are actually going to get done. But they did. But they also got a deal on the USMCA, the new version of the NAFTA trade deal. They got a deal on national defense authorization, which was hanging out there. So my question is, what do you see as the pressing legislative items that the House and Senate may be turning to in the first part of next year?
Good question. I'll focus on, especially in the trade issue, but then Heather can mention some of the health care issues that were kind of left out of the big package or just done on a temporary basis. And the big one you mentioned is the USMCA, the rewrite of the NAFTA, US, Canada, Mexico trade agreement. That is, I think, on the floor being debated in the House today. It should pass the House, I think, by the end of today. Senator McConnell has said he's not going to be able to take it up until next year. So that'll be, you know, an item of unfinished business for the Senate to take up in the new year after the impeachment trial takes place. So I think we're also kind of watching what happens with the timing for the impeachment trial, which will probably be the first thing out of the box next year in the Senate, and then USMCA after that, and then other things to follow on with that package. One thing I didn't mention in the House is also being passed today is the SALT, state and local tax deduction modification that the House Democrats have been agitating about, mostly the Northeast and West Coast members. So they would suspend that $10,000 cap for 2 years and modify it for married families for 1 year to be double what it is today versus a $10,000 cap to $20,000 cap. That's going to be offset by raising the top individual tax rate for higher income taxpayers. That should pass the House today. It's not going anywhere in the Senate. Senator McConnell is not going to take that up and pass that in the Senate. So it will go nowhere after that. But as the sector has been interested in is watching how that impacts some of the SALT workaround activities in the states, how it impacts charitable election as well more broadly. So something definitely to watch, but not going anywhere past the House today. But Heather has some other items that they might take up next year as well.
Yeah, one of the other areas where they punted was on healthcare. So they did include in the tax package the extension of the individual medical expense deduction and the ACA taxes. But all of the other healthcare provisions got bumped out to May 22nd of next year. The things that we're looking for next year included a package of expiring healthcare provisions that included funding for things like community health centers and other Medicare and Medicaid expenditures. And along with it, they also bumped out two other debates about how they would pay for that package. One is around surprise medical bills that individuals receive when they receive care at an in-network facility from an out-of-network physician. And the other is the debate around drug prices. There was one very small drug pricing provision called the CREATES bill that addressed some patent abuses that passed as part of the overall package. But almost all of the other provisions were bumped out sort of this May debate timeline when House Democrats are hoping they'll have more of an opportunity to negotiate with Republicans in the Senate to come up with a more bipartisan package because they don't have agreement on the current Senate package or the current House package. House Democrats did pass out H.R. 3 earlier this week in order to put their proposals out there, but we won't be considering it. They are certainly dead in the Senate. They are not going to be taking those up, but they're hopeful that there could be some negotiation later next year on drug pricing as well.
Got it. And Heather, when you say H.R. 3, often low bill numbers are a signal of sort of special importance.
Yeah, it means we care about it. They do. In the House in particular, they frequently save their first 10 bill numbers for bills that are important to the Speaker, irrespective of party. And so H.R. 3 was really a bill that was driven by Speaker Pelosi and her staff to focus on drug pricing. Drug pricing is a very popular issue for voters and polls in an extremely bipartisan fashion. And so one of the areas where House Democrats wanted to be able to demonstrate that they were making progress despite the focus on impeachment was in drug pricing. So we saw them move that bill during the session this week in advance of the vote on impeachment.
Got it. Thank you. So why don't we move on to a few other policy updates that I have for you all this afternoon, and then we'll give folks one last chance for questions on this or on anything else you've heard. Earlier this month, another significant charitable giving tax deduction proposal was introduced in Congress. Shortly ahead of Giving Tuesday, which because of the calendar this year fell in December, Representative Mark Walker reintroduced his Universal Charitable Giving Act, and dedicated listeners will remember that this is a bill that grants a charitable deduction for non-itemizers up to a cap of roughly $4,000 for individuals and $8,000 for married couples filing jointly. At some point, presumably, a couple has given enough that they reach into itemizer status. And then there is no cap at that point. So that is a proposal that the charitable community is certainly watching closely. It is partially watching charitable giving proposals in Congress so closely because the data about charitable giving continues to be very alarming. Earlier this month, the third quarter report from the Fundraising Effectiveness Project was released, comparing fundraising year to date in 2019 versus to the same point in 2018. And through the first three quarters of this year, total dollars given to charity from this report are down 4.6%. Again, that's compared to last year, which was also not a good year for charitable giving. Furthermore, the number of donors giving to charity is down 3.6%. So these continue to be alarming trends that we are raising with policymakers and that are clearly at least getting the attention of some policymakers on Capitol Hill. The last update that I have for you all surrounds the Public Interest Registry, the organization that owns and manages the .org domains on the internet. That entity is being acquired by a private equity firm, Ethos Capital, expected to be finalized during the first quarter, but an acquisition that has raised the alarm of many in the charitable sector, including independent sector. Close to 9,000 nonprofit organizations have signed a petition against this sale, worried about future increases in domain pricing, as well as other governance concerns with this entity being acquired by a private equity firm. Individuals and organizations can find out more about this campaign at save.org.org. So, questions about what we've covered so far about charitable giving, about the Public Interest Registry, about this quite expansive and also quite positive bill making its way through Congress today? Star 6 to unmute your lines. Thank you all for your partnership this year. Thank you to our colleagues at Washington Council for your insight and your guidance as always. We look forward to speaking with you all in the new year. Take care, everyone. Thank you.